Hello, everyone. It is time to get started. I am pulling up our notes for today. I know we're talking about health fine. I actually reviewed them, but I was reviewing them on my laptop, not on my desktop. So I got to get them pulled up over here. And then we are going to get started for the day. I hope y'all are having a good one. If you're wondering, why are you so dressed up? Are you not going to work out at the end of the day? No, I've already done it for the day. I'm so proud of myself. I got up early this morning. I did my plan for the day, just like y'all. I did my 24-hour plan. And I actually plan my work day first. And I don't know if this will help any of you in terms of this is just how I do it. And it really has helped me. But I plan my work day first, like whatever I've got to do for the day. So whether or not you work or not is irrelevant. But one of the things that is very important is that let's say that let's say you go to work, you want to kind of have like an outline of like, this is when I have to get to work. Here are the things I'm going to be doing today. Like, here's what's important. Here are the meetings I'm obligated to. If you've got stuff with your kids, you just kind of want to get all that on your calendar. Some people like me, I tend to plan the entire week. And then every morning I wake up, I look at what I thought was going to work best on Sunday. And then I adjust things as needed for the day so that I'm always staying kind of granular also. So what that does for my food is that it allows me to be able to take a look at the day and then decide the food that's going to fit for the day. So days like today, I usually just go ahead and eat breakfast, hungry or not, because I know like today I've got 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. That one runs late. It goes to 12:30. I have a 12:30 call, and then that's for an hour, and then it goes straight into a 1:30 call that is 90 minutes to 2 hours. Then I get a break. If I pee, we are having a great day. So on days like today, I'm not going to wait for physical hunger. I'm going to combine my wisdom of knowing what my body is going to go through for the day by looking at my calendar, and then I'm going to make eating decisions based on that. So I'm going to go ahead and eat breakfast. So I'm going to override hunger, but knowing I would have been hungry at some point. So we're going to go ahead and eat now. And I am just going to eat a typical breakfast, knowing this is what I normally eat when I am hungry, because that's probably what I'm going to need, knowing I would have ate somewhere in that window. So that is how we get flexible. And if you're doing some of the Nobia stuff that I've just like released and whatnot, you'll start hearing a lot more about flexibility and stuff like that. We are currently rewriting the Nobia's program. And one of the things I'm talking about in there in a lot more detail, and that comes out in January, is a lot about the gray areas, the like, how do you include spontaneity? What does flexibility look like? What does the spirit of planning look like? So we've given you a taste of that for now to get us through until we get the whole program rewritten, but you have that. Okay. So I plan my day first and I take a look at my commitments and then I plan food. And the other thing that helps me here is when it like today's topic is healthifying, there are some days where I know it is imperative to eat healthier than other days. I may not want to eat those things. They may not be my favorites. They like on what I would call pleasure and joy and comfort and relaxation stuff, not as high on the scale, but given what I've got going on today and knowing what I've already kind of thought about my week, I know that some of those things need to be planned a little later in the week because what's most important is my energy levels, being able to go to bed, being able to get a good night's sleep, not, going to bed. If I eat, let's say I want to eat ice cream for dinner and I plan to have ice cream for dinner. I also know that when I eat ice cream for dinner, I get the sleep sweats. If I have a drink or two, I'm gonna have the sleep sweats, which means I'm also gonna compromise my sleep. So I'm okay with that when I know I don't have a big fucking busy day the next day, or I don't have much going on. I'm okay with some sleep sweats, but I am not okay with that on a Tuesday night. Last night, I have a big full day today. So yesterday, was not eating ice cream. I was not eating a lot of foods that just give me oral pleasure. It was like, this today's a really good day to be eating the healthy foods to prepare it for tomorrow. And also, that Tuesday happens to be my big meeting day. I have a lot of meetings, plus I'm trying to get real work done. So when you take that time every morning, I want all of you to start thinking about this. When you take the time to just look at your day each morning or before you go to bed at night, this process literally takes me 10 minutes start to finish to plan my day, think about what I'm most going to need, then go through and plan my food around that. It takes me about once I kind of understand what are the needs I need met today. Planning food becomes so much easier. But what most of you are doing, you're like some of you who aren't even planning aren't doing it because you think that you're not gonna like, if I make a 24-hour plan, then I don't get what I want. That is not true. Every day we make the plan in order to give us what we most want. It's just our wants change every day. And some days we are making some decisions for our greater good. And then some days it's like, today's a great day to enjoy some things. So let's just plan that shit. You know, I'm like, if you like, let's say, like some of you will tell me, like my niece is a good example. If she eats gluten, that poor child, it's got to be by a bathroom within 30 minutes or she will shit wherever she is. She has too often been in situations where she has had gluten at a party, where she has had, like, somehow she has gotten gluten. And most of the time, like, she has shit herself so often that she now is maniacal about quizzing her friends. Like, you are 100% sure because, and she will just be honest, I will shit myself. And I do not want to shit myself at the party. But she's had so many incidences where her stomach gets upset. She now knows how to plan things. But if she really wants to have something, she just makes sure that she's going to be at home base because she knows her stomach's going to, like, it's going to run through her like buttermilk. So she's got to be near a toilet. And she'd rather be at home doing that than to be at a party where somebody might be in the bathroom and she can't get there and has to stand in the hall and shit herself. So, a drastic example, but for some of you, you need to be thinking about these things. And I think if y'all did more thinking about this kind of stuff, like, oh my gosh, like, I want to meet all my needs. I want to be so, like, strategic about things. I want to make sure that sometimes it's all about the pleasure and sometimes it's all about the energy and sometimes it's a little bit of both. Like, when you're planning and you are thinking about this is how I make my days work best for me. And if I am always trying to make things really work for me, I won't be afraid of planning. We're only afraid to plan for a few reasons. Number one, we stop planning because if we're not following it, we're beating ourselves up over it. So we take the fucking planning away instead of working on taking a beat down away. Instead of saying, I'm going to keep planning until I learn how to not catastrophize, how to not beat myself up and stuff. Like, it would be better for me to put myself in a situation to where my brain's going to go wild on me so that every single time it happens, guess what I get to do? Teach myself we don't treat ourselves this way anymore. We're going to learn from this. We're going to find any possible way we're making progress. You would be better off. I want all of you to think about this. Who's better off in 6 months? The person who spends 6 months planning and failing, and every single time figuring out how to fuck it, eat a little less, how to be nicer to themselves, tries lots and lots of things. At the end of 6 months, where's that person? Probably with reduced fuck it eats. A better self-esteem, set up for the next 6 months, probably getting better and better at planning, knowing how to meet all of their needs. Person who does all the plans and breaks a lot of plans also probably knows what their needs are. They're probably starting to get into the land of like, I really understand what these overeats are about now. I have done so many of the discovery worksheets and stuff. I think my next step is to quit trying to figure it out on my own. Take what I'm gathering and let a coach help me and ask coaches with it. That person or this person. You just don't understand, Corinne. Like, I tried planning for 3 months and it was awful. I never followed it and I felt like shit. So I just quit doing the planning. But here's the thing. My weight stalled and I just don't understand why. It's like, yeah, because you're not planning. Guess what? That other bitch who decided to talk better to herself, she's got a better self-esteem. And if she hasn't figured out what's causing her to break plans, she's got information to take to a coach. You know what we have with you? We got to figure out how to get you to quit beating yourself up. We got to work on getting you courageous enough to start making plans again. We got to help you see the obvious problem in the room, which is you not deciding that every time a beatdown starts, that you have a thought you immediately pivot to. When the beatdowns start, I don't care if you have to say, I do not treat myself like this anymore. I am becoming the kind of person who, when things go wrong, they look for a solution, period. And if we're not going to look for a solution, we're also not going to beat ourselves up. But we are also not going to quit planning because quitting planning only stops my beatdowns in this one area. Because here's the message for all of you. If you are willing to beat yourself up over something that you overate, a binge, then I guarantee you, if you examine the rest of your life, it is a low threshold for you to beat yourself up over the dumbest of shit. I have heard some of you, I literally coached a woman on this years ago who was in tears because she was at the grocery store pushing her cart down an aisle. And as she passed someone, she said they looked at her and then they didn't acknowledge her and then they just kept walking. And I was like, okay. And she's like crying. They thought I was taking up too much room. I should never go to the grocery store. I shouldn't be allowed out of my house. Everyone is staring at me. Everyone thinks this and stuff. I'm like, whoa. How do you know that person didn't just look at you and think, for fuck's sake, I hate being at the grocery store. And they were just so in their head that they were just pushing that cart going, I hope the fucking lines aren't long. Like, how do you know that wasn't their thought? So, for all of you who are trying to figure this shit out, here's my advice. Do not give up on planning simply because you're an asshole to yourself. If you're going to give up on something, let's work on giving up being an asshole to yourself. That's the path to weight loss prosperity. The only way any of you will ever stop beating yourself up is you have to put yourself in the situations where you do and then change your own narrative over and over again. It takes years for that voice to not be the first one in the room, but for years, you can feel a hell of a lot better by allowing that voice to come in and get so good at knowing it doesn't, it's just what my brain does. Eventually, you get to a point where you hear the voice and you don't care. And that's okay. All right. So I want y'all to be more like me. I want you to wake up each day and think about what do you need today? What is it that's like, going to make sense on this plan today? How is this plan going to support me? Am I making a supportive plan? And if you are making a plan that challenges you, that's not bad. Just make sure that today you want to be challenged. There are some days you may not want to be that challenged. And then some days you're feeling pretty good about yourself. You're like, maybe today is a day that I'm up for healthifying some stuff and changing things. Let's see how we do. And then put yourself in the situation to see how it goes. A lot of you will see it will never be as bad as you think it will be. And then some of you will be like, it didn't go quite like I thought. So let's figure out why. Don't go all the way back to square one thinking, well, that didn't work. First, investigate. Maybe there's a small tweak to make. Maybe you need to ratchet it down 10%. Who knows? And then sometimes you're gonna be like, you know what? This really didn't work. I'm gonna go back to what I was doing. And now I'm gonna do that for a few days until I figure out what is a more doable level up for me. The whole, like all of that is possible when you are sitting around thinking, if my brain tries to beat me up over this, it is some bullshit. I want to be someone who's always trying to level up. I want to be someone who's looking for progress. I want to be someone who's creative when it comes to moving forward. Here's what we don't want to be: an automatic quitter over some dumb shit. And your brain beating you up is just dumb shit. And I know so much of it feels scary and true. I get it. It was yesterday, actually. I had almost what I would call, I don't want to call it a panic attack. I would call it a low level, let's call it flood of emotions. Because I wasn't losing my breath and stuff, but I was at the gym and I started thinking about something. I don't even remember what got into my head, but I started thinking about a project that I'm working on. All of a sudden, I felt this huge rush and wave of butterflies. My heart started beating real hard, and my brain started racing. It just went off to the races on, like, this is never going to work. Like, I think you need to like double down on all this other stuff. Just work harder. You're just going to have to, like, my brain started suddenly telling me, like, you need to go back to working nights. Like, it was just, I mean, it just spiraled out of control real fast, faster than I'm used to. That rarely ever happens to me. And yesterday, I was just at the gym. I was at the tail end of a really hard leg day. I had didn't eat a snack before I went, so I'm pretty sure my blood sugar was low. So my brain, like, it was just like, oh, defenses are down. Let's go. Let's think about something really rough. A hole in the wall, and the enemy could just get on in there. And so I remember I was like in my car, and I had to put my hand over my heart while I was driving, and I took a few deep breaths, and I just said, okay, our brain's off to the races. That's all I said is, your brain is just off to the races. And that was the thought I had about all of it. I did not try to change. I did not try to calm myself down. I didn't do anything. I just asked myself, now that our brain is off to the races, what do we want to do? And I was like, I'm going to Marco Polo Jane. And I Marco Polo Jane all the way home. And I said, hey, I am just in a really bad spot, but I need to talk it out. I don't need any help. But I will do better if I just say everything out loud, because in my head, it is literally swirling around faster than I can do anything with it. Talking it out for me when I can't write it out is a way to slow it down. Next level is to write it down, because then I have to use my hand. And when I use my hand, then I have to go a lot slower, which means the more important shit comes out. So for all of you, I just want you thinking about, how can I be meeting my needs? How can I be always on guard for listening to what's going on for me? And either meeting my needs or doing something in the moment that will help me. Okay, let's go to the healthifying. Let me make sure I pulled it up. Yeah, I did. And then I'm going to answer a few questions. Okay, I have a couple of announcements for all of you. Number one, if this is your first live Q&A call with me, welcome. What we do on this call is we do a little mix of Q&A. I always teach a little. Teach a little. I teach a lot in the beginning. I usually come with something that's on my mind. Then we get into the lesson of the day, which is that's what we're starting now. And then we do some questions and then we're out of here. And you get all of this in replay. So you never have to feel like you need to show up live. You can always just Listen to replays in your private member podcast while you're on the go. Next, this week we're finishing up our Making the Basics Easier, which is module 2 of No BS for Everyone. And then if you want, you can be listening to How to Healthify Your Foods and How to Be Flexible and Spontaneous while you lose weight. Okay. And that's kind of what I was talking about in the beginning, is when it comes to spontaneity and flexibility, it's about just thinking through what it is that you most want and making some of those decisions through the day. All right. Or through the week. Upcoming this next month, y'all need to just hold on to your freaking little horsies or your big girl panties or your bloomers, whatever you got working there. We have put together probably one of the best resources I think we've ever produced. And it is coming out in September. Lizzie, I think I had the idea, but I was not able to like do all of the work. And so we asked our team who has like the interest and who has the time to work on it. And Coach Lizzie was like, this is in my wheelhouse. I am so good at planning and getting things done. Like that's like my specialty. And so she had like the runway she came up with an outline, and then I gave her feedback, and then she went to the next step, and then we just kind of worked together. But I will say 80% of what you're going to get, I give all of the credit to Coach Lizzie. I was involved in the 20%. I was the big idea. I was the polisher. I was just feedback and those kind of things. But Coach Lizzie, she knocked this motherfucker out of the park. And I just, especially for all of you legacy members who have been around a while, I think you're going to be like, wow, this is great. And this is just some of the things that are getting worked on behind the scenes for y'all. So this was about a 3 to 4 month project. And then it's now ready for y'all's release. So it is called Meal Plan. And I have to keep lifting my glasses up. I got my stylish glasses on, but the progressives are not in the right alignment. So in order to see, I have to get my glasses up. If you're wondering what I'm doing, the Meal Planning Like a Boss guide. This is a huge guide. And it is not just full of recipes, but this guide is going to take your meal planning to the next level. She literally combed our Facebook groups. She asked our coaches. We went through Ask Coaches. She asked me, like everybody who knows any fucking thing about y'all contributed to, here's the situations that get in their way when it comes to planning and eating. Like if you want to know what to say to a food pusher, if you want to know like XYZ, when it comes to anything that could stand in the way of making a plan, there is a section on it in this guide. I mean, it is money. It is like bread and butter. So you need to all get excited. I believe it's releasing to all of you either August 30th or 31st. We gave y'all a sneak peek. I love how I have to keep lifting my glasses up just to read. So September 4th, your Q&A is going to be how to meal plan when all the shit comes up. The guide is chock full, and we're going to go a little bit deeper in here. Then on 11th, we're going to do what to do when you don't follow your plan. The guide talks all about what happens when you don't follow a plan. How can you save the day? Like what can we be doing? The September 18th call is going to be busting your shitty thinking around planning. And then on September 25th, we'll be talking about the leveling up of your planning. So for all of you, you are going to want to make sure that you use this guide. It is going to be downloadable in digital format. Many of you will want to print it, get it printed if you want to have a hard copy at home. But literally, our team read through it before we released it to y'all. And so many of the coaches were like, oh my God, I answer this question all the time. Oh my God, they talk about this all the time. Oh my God, I'm going to make some of these recipes. Like, I never even tried this. I want to try egg roll in a bowl. I want to try these things. And we made the recipes. Like, it is not just like some recipes. It is recipes for on the go, recipes if you're a busy parent, recipes if you love to cook. Like, recipes you can throw together after vacation. It is like literally, we tried to think about what the fuck gets in your way when it comes to planning, and we created the ultimate guide on it. So be excited, be ready. It is amazing, and you're all getting it. And I think like 2 days, I think it's 2 days from now. I can't remember. I guess it's the 30th. There's no August 31st, right? I'm not even sure. Let's just look. Now that's going to bother me. In the month of, let's see, September has 30 days. No, August has 31 days. It may come out on Saturday. I'm not sure. So, but anyway, I'm sure someone in my team, it is coming out. There is an August 31st. Great. I looked at my fast mail. So I found that. Okay. Now let's talk about the health fine. All right. So if you're going to keep losing weight and you're going to keep your weight loss going, you've got to think about healthifying foods. Now, healthifying, as I explained in the video, is not diet mentality. It is not like you have to eat healthy now. Here's one thing I do want to tell all of you. When it comes to good, better, best, and it comes to healthifying, you're going to see one, like, you're going to see these things. There are some things in my life that I have healthified and I've never looked back. I never went back to how I used to eat them. It just depends on what it is. Like, I would not go eat a fried chicken sandwich anymore. To me, a fried chicken sandwich isn't worth it. So once I got to where I leveled up to a grilled chicken sandwich, it tastes really good. Like, I'm eating grilled chicken sandwiches when I'm going out to eat. I've never felt the need to go back to fried chicken. It is not that I think a fried chicken sandwich is bad, but when I look at like the totality of stuff, like when I eat fried food, where do I want to be eating fried food? One of the things that I also, once I healthified something, this was another one that I did. If I am going to eat something like a hamburger, I'm not going to be having French fries with it. I'm either having a big ass juicy burger that's delicious with all the things on it that I love, and I'm going to have fruit or side salad or something, or French fries is the main game. That's what I really want. So I'm probably going to do like a bunless grilled chicken something. That is something I just, that is something that once I leveled it up, it has worked well for me. I never feel deprived. I've rarely gone anywhere where I thought, that looks so good, it'll be worth it. Like, I've tried it a couple times and literally it's never been worth it. The food tasted amazing when I was eating it, but what is always happens is that when I try to put too much of all the stuff in my belly now, I don't have a good time for hours to come. Like, I will burp it for a while. I get incredibly bloated, even if I stop it enough. It's too heavy for me now. So when you're healthifying and you're using good, better, best, sometimes you're going to level up and you're never going to look back. You're just like, you know what? This is it. Sometimes, though, it's options. Sometimes I do this and sometimes I do that. Nachos are that way for me. I have leveled up versions of nachos. And then I have times where I'm like, no, this is not a level up moment. This is a all in. I like this style. I don't want a healthy version. Like, if I go to my restaurant, I want our nachos as they come with extra cheese. That's what I want. Now, if I'm at home, I'm probably making a healthy version of nachos. I am probably going to sub out most of the chips for also pepper strips. I'm going to do different things. I'm going to use like a baked chip instead of whatever, like a deep fried chip. So when it comes to healthifying, what I don't want y'all thinking is that once you healthify something, you cannot go back to the other way. That's not going backward. You just have to decide. There's just going to be times when this version really works for me, and maybe this is the version that's going to work for me for the rest of my life. Or you're going to have times where it's like, you know, most of the time I do this version. On special occasions, I do this version. And then you may have some stuff that it's like for me, I have gotten to where now when it comes to ice cream, I have gone all over the map. I have had like straight up just Kroger brand chocolate chip, whatever. I just ate ice cream. I've gone to yogurt and fruit. I have done Halo tops, skinny cows, that kind of thing for a while. I've done everything. Now, every now and then I'll have a Halo top, but I've just like the last time I had Halo top, I was like, God, this is just not cutting it anymore. I really just want real ice cream. I'm going all the way back to where once I started, except I don't want Kroger brand ice cream anymore. If I'm going to have ice cream, I want either a Blizzard, a McFlurry, or a Blast from Sonic. Like, I want that kind. And so now, like, when I plan ice cream, I plan for real ice cream. Like, I'm just not going to, I don't want like diet style or healthified desserts. If I'm having dessert, I just want to have dessert. So you may find at different points in your life, you want to be doing things. I don't want y'all to be thinking that you are going backward or you're going forward. It's like the more I healthify, the better I am. The less healthified it is, the worse I am. You are not part of the equation. Your morality does not play at all into healthifying at all. You're not a good person or a bad person. You're not right or you're wrong. You're not better or worse. None of that matters. Only thing that matters is what do I like? What works for me? Where am I at now in my weight loss? And doing this, how am I going to do this in a way that moves me forward, not only with losing weight or keeping it off, but also with like the ultimate relationship with food that I'm truly trying to build? And so for a lot of you, when you think about you as thin, you probably are eating healthy. I want you to question that. The thin version of you doesn't just eat healthy. The thin version of you has a healthy relationship with food, all of them. I want you to really think about that. I think that's what the majority of you really want for yourselves. It's like, I want a healthy relationship with food, which means when I enjoy something, I enjoy something. And when I am eating healthier foods, I am proud of myself. It never feels really forced. Sometimes it's like even with me now, it's like sometimes I will, like I'm going on to Vegas this weekend. I always work while I'm in Vegas the first 6 hours of the day, and then we just kind of like hang out, do our Vegas-y type stuff. Like we're hoping to play poker on Thursday night. But when I go to Vegas, very often for breakfast, we go to this one place. I get the all American. It's just the American breakfast. I almost always look at the French toast and the other delicious things that they have on that menu. And it is not easy to tell myself, we're not going to have that. Because I know deep down, starting my day off for me personally with French toast and pancakes on vacation, when I'm going to spend the afternoon at a hot fucking pool and probably have drinks, I am going to feel like ass physically, unless I get really drunk, so that I don't think about how bad I feel physically with the food. I'm bad. That is not how I want to spend my vacation. Like overeating here. And even if I didn't overeat, having a little French toast here and then been like, ooh, I rarely eat that. Now I'm at the pool and I'm feeling like shit. And I was like, well, let me have some drinks. Like, I don't want to spend my day out running French toast that I had first thing in the morning. So I always tell myself, although it would be fun, although it would be tasty, I know you're going to want to drink this afternoon. I also know that you're going to be wanting to have dinner to, like dinner tonight, and I like desserts when I'm on vacation. So I'm not going to go on vacation and have dessert for breakfast, dessert at night and stuff, because I also know there's a version of Corinne who goes home. You know that version of Corinne? She don't want to be up 10 pounds anymore. I used to be okay with that. There was a version of me in maintenance that used to be up like 7 pounds. I didn't drink then, but boy, Chris and I, we played poker all day. We'd go to Vegas for a week and we would eat, like eat at the poker table. We ate fish and chips and hot fudge sundaes and grilled cheeses and French fries. That was like all we ate for an entire week. And I was okay with going home with my weight up then. I'm just not okay with it anymore. In my 50s, I'm just like, I just don't want to mess with that. If I'm up a couple of pounds, that's easy. That's just a little bloat. That's going to come off because I'm always going to get back into my routine. And that's how I think about things. I am always going to get back into routine. I am always going to go home and set myself up for success. So when we're thinking about healthifying and stuff, like, I want you having a bigger conversation with yourself. Y'all get too stuck in, this is right, this is wrong, I should do this, I should do that. You know, I'm a bad person if I'm doing this. No, all of that is the nonsense. That is the nonsense that we think that keeps us stuck not losing weight. Losing weight is a ongoing, loving conversation you have with yourself as you continue to develop the relationship with food and yourself that you ultimately want. So if thin you, I want you to really think about her. If she feels free around food, you know what she's not doing? Eating all the things because she had a bad day anymore. You know what she's doing? She's probably having a good cry. If she, like, I always think about me, I don't want to be eating because I had a bad day anymore. I remember thinking about this a few years ago. This was like 2 or 3 years ago. I just said, I don't want to eat from a bad day anymore. So if I'm not going to be someone who eats because of a bad day, who do I have to be on a bad day? I have to be willing to cry. I have to be willing to reach out. I have to be willing to talk to people about what's going on, honestly. I have to become someone who, like, if something's bothering me, I have to become the kind of person who has an honest conversation with said person. So that meant, like, I needed to start figuring that out. Like, I need to start thinking, like, man, on my bad days, like, if Chris pisses me off, I have to be someone who also doesn't yell at their husband because they pissed them off. Because if I would yell at, here's what always happens with Chris. This is my husband. Y'all's partners might be different. I'm mad about something. I yell at Chris about it. Chris won't talk about it. He'll just, like, look at me like, and he won't call me out. Chris won't even try to fix it. When I'm in that mood, Chris just is like, in his mind, he's like, I'm gonna let her get her wiggles out. I think he thinks of me as more like a toddler, kind of like when I'm throwing a fit like a toddler. So he's gonna let me get my wiggles out. He's gonna let me kind of cry it out and stuff. So I'm not gonna get what I want. If I'm like, I had to really think about this. Like, I can't be, like, if I'm having problems with Chris, I have to become someone who doesn't just yell to get their way anymore. I have to become someone who looks at what they most need and have to figure out how am I going to talk to my husband about this in a way that this can get resolved. I had to become someone who, like, changed how I was to get what I most wanted. Because if I really wanted something from Chris, what I learned real quick in our marriage is that yelling at him was never going to get me there. That is not how he communicates, even if it's how I communicate. And then I started thinking about, do I really want to be someone that yells at someone and, like, basically scares them or throws such an ass fit that that's the only way that I can get my way? No, like, when I really started thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, I don't even want to be that person. But that is what always worked for me growing up. My mother was a people pleaser. And if I acted the ass big enough, my mother would cave. That is how I got a lot of the things that I wanted done in my life. Well, I didn't want to be that person anymore. And I also, like somebody said, sometimes as women, we want them to talk back and they don't. I had to figure that out for me too, because Chris is not like that, is just not in Chris's DNA. I had to tell myself, when I just want to talk about something, I need to go make a friend who wants to talk to me about it, because I didn't marry that person. Like, I want you to think about it. We are just like, but you should want to talk about it because I really like that and I really respond to that. And yet they're probably sitting in their head going, we should not talk about this because that's what I really like. I have to just sit and think about it in my head. And this is what I decided a long time ago. There is so much when it comes to relationships that I'm very willing to bend on in order to get my way. There's very few things that are actually happening where I would say this is cause for divorce. And you were all in a membership, then I don't have a person who I need to talk with. All right. Then here's what you got to do. You have to become the person who finds a really dear friend. Or you can sit in your relationship. This is what I decided. I can sit in my relationship and try to make the person I love change fundamentally their comfort level to suit my needs. Or I can figure out how to go get my needs met in a different way. So I can get into an accountability group. And I can try them bastards on until I find me a bestie, because let me tell you, it is not impossible in this group. So many people here are like, well, my best friend Jane was an original fit and fat client. I curate amazing people. For all of you who are just like, I don't make friends easy, it's like you're in a group of 9,000 people. I will bet you there's one out there that is very similar to you who would want to talk to your ass. But I had to decide, like, what are non-negotiables and where am I just ramming my head into the wall over and over again? And I'm like, maybe this need can get met a different way. I either need to talk to somebody or I'm going to learn how to talk to myself, or if nothing else, stuff that I want to talk to my husband about and he's not good at, or doesn't talk or can't fix or whatever, I'm gonna go to ask coaches now. Like, I just think about it that way, because for me, I didn't want to be an emotional eater anymore. Okay, let's get back on track because we went down a long rabbit hole on that one. All right. So when we're healthifying, one of the things I want you doing is I want you to think about how can I make sure that I'm examining things often enough. I would set my trigger to be number one, we at the end of the month, like on the last day of the month or the first of the month. You know how like we do our deep dive assessment, and Lisa will link y'all to the deep dive assessment on the website, but the deep dive assessment looks a lot of things. The other thing that I would do when you do your deep dive is say like, okay, now that I've done my deep dive, is there anything that I'm eating over and over and over and over again? Is there anything that I love, love, love that I feel like I could also healthify? That would be one of the questions I'd be asking every month. Because sometimes we just kind of get stuck in eating the things the way we do, and we can always make a micro change if we want to. And then if they're like, no, there's no foods I actually want to healthify, then you can start asking yourself, like, all right, then is there, like, for me, like protein is a big deal right now. I'm just, I'm in those menopause years. I'm lifting all the weights. I'm watching the scale, the whatever you call it, the protein percentage. I have the Renfo scale. And there's two numbers I watch like a religion. Protein percent and I think it's called muscle mass. It's whatever one is the one that's tracking your muscle. Let me pull it up real quick and I'll tell you exactly what it is. Ugh. Now I don't want to share stuff. This thing's like asking me everything but what I want to do. Muscle mass. I'm watching muscle mass and it'll tell you how many pounds of muscle you have. I keep trying to add it. Just keep trying to add it. Let me tell you, it's hard as shit. Woo, Lord, adding muscle, tough. So I watch those two numbers. So one of the things that I healthified in the last few months is I eat my protein first. I just do. Guess what I usually eat second? The carb. Guess what I go for third and almost always don't finish? My vegetables. But I'm like, I take vitamins. I feel good. I drink a green supplement each day. That's what I put in my, and y'all don't ask me to give out my shake. For God's sakes, we have given that to y'all 500,000 times. If you want to see my shake, it is somewhere on the website. Just go look for it. But I do that every day. But the only way that I was ever going to get my protein where I needed it was I got to eat the protein first. So what I would do is I would be thinking about, all right, When I'm healthifying, you can healthify quality, you can healthify the order in which you eat, you can help the quantity can be healthified. There's all kinds of ways to do it. But I want you looking at it once a month. I think it's so important for all of you, now that we're at the end of the month, to either do an assessment, either on the last day or the first day of the month, to just see what it is you want to zero in on and dial in for the next month. Now, again, I'm going to remind y'all as this call started. Some of you will be like, oh, Corinne, I don't want to do the assessment. I just feel so bad. It makes me feel bad. That assessment cannot make you feel bad without your permission. So you can't, I want you to change your thought too. I feel bad when I do my assessment. So that is an opportunity for me to do the assessment and figure out how not to feel bad. What is it that I'm saying to myself? Because if you, all you did was look at the assessment and be like, oh, look at all these areas that I can improve on. I was really low in a lot of areas. Which one is the one I'm going to zero in on? You would not be feeling bad. We don't feel bad until we look at it and say, like, look at all these low areas. I must be a fuck face. I'm a lazy fuck. I'll never lose weight. Like, if it's bringing all that up for you, good. Because that is telling you, oh, my relationship with myself needs work. So instead of quitting, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick some shit to work on. And then I'm going to make a plan for that shit. And then I'm going to work on what I want to tell myself about the previous month. Don't try to just wipe it away, sweep it under the rug, and be like, oh, well, I beat myself up. I'm just going to get really focused on next month. No. Before you, I want you to plan for the next month and you take that action, but I don't want you coming up with thoughts you need for the next month. You need thoughts about last month. That's the emergency in the room. If the best that happens or the worst, if what happens when you do an assessment is you feel bad, feeling bad means I'm taking this personally. I should probably look at why I'm taking it personally. Because that needs to get solved. That's it. And I would do that assessment even if you didn't do jack fucking shit. How about this month be the month you get really good at taking an honest look, even if you have goose egg all over the assessment? The nice thing about the deep dive assessment is it will break all of the things down into little things, and then you pick one, and that's what you're going to work on next month. All right. People often ask, what is the difference between healthifying and diet mentality? Healthifying and diet mentality are two different things. Diet mentality means I have a mental block on something. So you know you have diet mentality when something's making you feel bad. Healthifying will make you feel good emotionally. Healthifying will sound like, I want to do this. I'm willing to try this. I get to do this. This could be good for me because let's see what happens. I don't have to eat like this all the time. I just want to see how it works. That's healthifying. Diet mentality is like, I have to do this. If I don't do this, nothing will work. I better do this right. I don't have a choice. So, like for a lot of you who are on the special diet train, a lot of you say, you don't understand. I don't have a choice. I can't eat those things. I would never describe it that way. Not ever. I would say, I absolutely have a choice. I can ignore my health or I can do this to improve it. Because you do have that choice. There are plenty of people that eat themselves into the grave every single day. So you do have a choice. And then don't ever say, I can't have these foods. Like, yeah, that's wrong, ma'am. You can have them. But right now, This is more important. And if at any time you don't want to make your health important, you always can have these foods. That is such a different way of thinking about it. When you're talking about it in diet mentality, it feels very defeatist. It feels like you ain't got no choices. It feels like something's being thrust upon you. And that is all in how you talk about it. And I am just a realist with myself. I always like to be real. I don't like lying to myself. Telling myself I can't have something, like I would never sit around and think, like, you know what I can't do? I can't dunk a basketball. Well, I would feel like shit. You know what I would say? You know what I can do? Get really good at a bank shot. Or I don't need to dunk basketballs anymore. Whatever it is. But I just want you to see, we're just flipping the way we think, because the better you think about your stuff, the less pressure you put on yourself. And when you are losing weight, when you don't have a lot of pressure that you're applying to yourself, you do better. It is so much easier to do things. It is so much easier to be excited about things. It's so much easier to be trying things. It is so much easier to be like experimenting and figuring things out. When everything is a matter of you can't do this, you shouldn't, you have to, when you're doing all that, it jacks you up. And most of us who are in no BS, the reason we're here is because when we get jacked up, guess what we really do? We eat. So Patty says, diet mentality really messes me up. Restrictions and rules do not work for me. It always makes me feel like I messed up. That is because you think there is a thing called restrictions and rules, Patty. There's literally no restrictions and rules when it comes to eating and losing weight. There are restrictions and rules you have playing in your head, but they're all made up by some diet. Somebody made something up and you bought it, and now you're telling yourself that's the way it has to be. Instead of telling yourself, there's literally no rules. And for most of you, if you're overeating, guess what? You just proved there's really no rules. Like, I want you to think about this. No diet police came in. You weren't arrested. I didn't take the no BS toys away from you because you broke a rule. Like, y'all need to quit telling yourself like those things. It's like there really is none. Now, if I want to give myself some personal loving rules, this is the way I set it up. I always tell myself, I have a lot of rules that I live by, but they are all hand selected and chosen. And when they mean something to me, I am so more apt to follow them. Like one of my rules is I don't yell at my husband anymore. And if I catch myself starting to yell or losing my temper, I immediately, like, I am so married to that rule now that when it happens, I will just go like, hey, I'm yelling, which means I must not be ready to talk about this. And I'll just be like, I'm out. And I have told Chris, if I ever do that, just know I'm sorry. I'm probably not even in the mood to say I'm sorry yet, but I know now that I am willing to walk my ass out of the room. I am willing to be embarrassed that I was yelling. I am willing to sit in my anger until I figure some shit out about what I really want to talk about. Because I know for me, when I'm yelling, I'm not asking for what I really need. I am usually arguing about something dumb, and that dumb thing represents something deeper. And I want to know what it is that's deeper, because I'd rather fix the deeper issue than for him to like load the dishwasher the right way. So, when it comes to, for all of you, healthifying, I want you reviewing. I want you using the deep dive. I want you looking at it once a month. I want you thinking about little things. I want you to understand it's not black and white. I want you to be thinking about there are going to be some things, a healthify. And I never look back. There's going to be some things I'm like 50-50. Sometimes they eat it this way, sometimes they eat it this way. There's some things like I've tried healthifying. It's not worth it. I'd rather have the real deal. It is a spectrum of things. All right. The other last thing I'll tell you, and then we ask, there's a couple of questions over here. Just save Kelly and Jamie for me real quick. I've got 5 minutes left. If you are really struggling with diet mentality, if you are having a hard time with rules and restrictions, and like, no matter what you say, Corinne, I just don't seem to be able to shake a lot of this. I want you to think about either coming to Nashville, it's in like 4 weeks, to the diet detox. We still have spots open. We were closing it down. I forgot we were closing it down. And then I kind of said, if y'all want to come, you can come. And we would let, like, I coached someone this weekend. I was like, I'll let you in. If you want, there's a few spots. If you want to come, we'll just let you, but you need to email us. We have fixed, we've made the page to honor that we were shutting it down. But if you are sitting there and you're like, I could last minute make this happen to come in person, you can. Now, a lot of you can't do that, but there was some confusion. If you buy the diet detox because you want that information, you can get just the replays. So if you buy, we've had a lot of people just buy the diet detox and they're just going to wait on the replays and then they're going to do them themselves. Okay. A couple of questions came in. Everything's on the website. I am lifting weights, and as the muscle mass goes up, my weight is too. Do I need to decide if I want to be toned with muscle or thin and flabby? No, Jamie, you're overeating. If you are lifting weights and you're looking and your muscle's going up, but the scale's going up, you can't just add muscle. No one adds just muscle. You're probably still overeating in some way. The first 2 to 3 weeks, you're probably going to see the scale go up. But after about, and it depends on how much weight you have to lose. So, like for me, if I wanted to gain muscle, I would probably want to gain 5 to 10 pounds. I am in my maintenance. But if I was wanting to lift weights while also losing weight, I would be lifting weights as hard as I can, but I'm going to be eating, doing the four basics, which means I'm only going to be eating to enough. It means I am going to be prioritizing protein and eating to enough and drinking a lot of water and getting a lot of sleep. The first 2 to 3 weeks when you first start lifting weights, y'all, you do gain water weight. You do not gain fat, though. For all of you, if I had a sponge, I'd show you. But if you take a sponge, what happens is when you start lifting weights, take a dry sponge. That's you before weights. When you lift weights each time, dunk the sponge. Now that's your muscle. So your muscles expand with water, but your muscles are not expanding with like butter. They're expanding with water. But after about 2 to 3 weeks, your body doesn't have to swell near as much. So you won't see week to week the scale going up. After 3 weeks, if the scale isn't going down, I would look at, are there still overeats happening? Because 9 times out of 10, when I talk to someone, that's what's happening, is they will say the scale's going up. And I'm like, well, how are your overeats? Well, I'm not overeating. Like, are you always stopping at enough? Well, not at dinner. I'm like, that's called overeating. Are you mindless eating? Are you having, is there any overeating going on? I would look there first because you do not, like, there are millions of people every day who do like bodybuilding competitions. I did bodybuilding competitions where I had to lose like 25 pounds while lifting weights like at a behemoth, and I looked more muscular than ever because we were taking down the weight. You do not have to eat extra to lift weights, y'all. None of us in here are probably going to need to be eating extra. You just got to prioritize protein. Just eat your protein first. What is your opinion on the amount of protein for us menopause ladies? I would Google that. I don't have an opinion. I just try my personally. I weigh like 144 right now. I try to get anywhere from 100 to 150 grams of protein a day. This shake alone has 50 grams. Or no, wait, this shake has 40. I put two of those 20 gram yogurts in it, and there's 40 of it right there. And then 10 comes in my peanut butter toast. All right. Oh, I put collagen in it too. Y'all have a good one. I will see you next Wednesday. You will have Coach MJ this Sunday. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.